September 9th, 2019. That's the date, and we welcome you to a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. And, of course, I'm the former person. The latter person is Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, the official presidentologist here at the radio station, expert on history, especially relating to presidents, past, present, the present president. Of course, we always talk about him, and future, as we'll, I'm sure, address during this program. Ron, thank you once again for joining us, and how are things there in southeastern Florida, where you hang your hat?
Everything is fine here. It's as usual, warm. At least we survived the hurricane. It didn't hit us, my God. And, of course, it was Labor Day time, and it wasn't a time to celebrate, unfortunately.
Yeah, that was interesting hurricane. It's like a two-week-long hurricane. It starts out and it ends up in the island provinces of northeastern Canada. One of the longest-lived hurricanes and diverse hurricanes. It was actually strengthening after it weakened, and then it became this post-tropical cyclone when it hit the maritime provinces of Canada. So interesting. You know, weather is a fascinating topic. We have our local weatherman, Zach Fuller, of course, who talks to you about the weather at the top of every hour. And just fascinating this time of the year with the transition. You never quite know. And this week here in Ohio, we're going to get temperatures close to 90. So if people thought fall made a sneak preview, well, it did, but it was very short-lived. Just adds to
the
fun.
Make believe you in Boca Raton visiting me this week, I guess.
Yeah, just interesting. This part of the country, you get four seasons. If you don't like what you have one day, just stick around because it will certainly change. Ron, let's see what we have here. You do many blogs, and you have a blog called theprogressiveprofessor.com, which you've been doing for over 11 years. And we, of course, talk about the recent blog entries every program, like we will do today. But you write blogs for History News Network, or also known as HNN. You've done 122 articles, and that's quite impressive. And your articles are...
And now they've given me a blog page. If you look on HNN website under blogs, my name, Ronald L. Fineman, is there, and all my past entries are on there alphabetically, and every new entry on HNN, and I have four that are being considered, will be added to the list continuously. So I'm very excited about that because it gets much more viewership than with my own blog.
Yeah, well, you're a very popular dude, my little friend, and getting
well. I might be popular, but I'm not famous, and I'm not rich. That's the only thing. But I don't care. I enjoy doing this. You know, I just enjoy writing. So
lots of things.
I don't care that I'm not paid for it.
Talk about as we took a break last week for Labor Day. What do you think about
the hurricane? As it turned out, I couldn't have done it anyway because of the hurricane. Yeah.
Are they going to call this Sharpie Gate with Donald Trump and his Sharpie and just changing things? What's your take on...
Unbelievable. I mean, he spends time worrying about Alabama, one of the top three states in support of him, but he didn't have much to say about North and South Carolina or Virginia. And, I mean, the man is a lunatic. He really is. And somebody right now on Facebook is saying to me they think he won't make it to next year, that he'll be removed. And I said, by whom? Not by Vice President Pence. I don't see him being removed, but the argument is that there'll be an acting president, you know, Pence. I don't think so, but it's very terrifying, particularly with the news now that he was inviting the Taliban to Camp David. I mean, this is obscene. And then because they killed a soldier this week, he backed off, but he tells us that he was inviting them to, you know, these guerrilla leaders who were involved with 9/11, certainly to some extent, be at Camp David, where Begin and Sadat met, and Eisenhower, of course, met with Khrushchev, and this is insanity. It really is.
Well, Donald Trump certainly is different, one of our most unusual presidents, and as a presidentologist,
unusual.
Every day you get a little surprised by his actions. Before we get into the myriad and plethora of tantalizing topics today, want to mention a couple things. In a couple days, it'll be the 18th anniversary of 9/11, meaning that in a couple days, people that were born on 9/11 will become legal adults. I remember 9/11 like it was yesterday. The idea that we're now almost a generation past that tragic event. It's mind-boggling.
Getting out of Afghanistan completely, which in a way I agree with, but in a way, how can we? since we never resolved that issue. It's a real nightmare issue, how to deal with Afghanistan.
And I just don't know what to say. It's just horrible, the events of that time, and how they've changed the course of history, changed how we look at world relations, and obviously had a big impact on immigration, with arguments being that, yes, we're a land of immigrants, yes, our doors are open to people that want to be here, but things have changed since 9/11. Things have changed since the internet, at least the internet in its current form. Again, the internet's been around since the 60s, but not in the form that it's in now. And if we compare life back in the 30s and 40s to now, we're not really comparing apples to apples, and that's kind of where a lot of the immigration argument stems from, including, you know, some of my own opinions about it. And it makes for interesting topics, but it would be nice if everybody could just get along. Unfortunately, that I don't think is really going to be the case.
No, we're more divided now than we've been since the 1960s, honestly, and I don't think the 2020 election, whatever happens, is going to resolve that, unfortunately.
Of course, on Friday, it's Friday the 13th, and it seems like, with respect to Donald Trump, every day is Friday the 13th. So,
well, it's the day after the third Democratic debate in Houston coming this Thursday. That'll be interesting. It's not going to be on Friday because there's only 10 candidates. If they were more than 10, it would have been the second debate on Friday the 13th. So I think it's better. It's all on Thursday the 12th.
Yeah, well, when it comes to American politics, there's one thing somebody has always said. It's like we have a nonstop Jerry Springer show, and it seems like every day could very well be Friday the 13th. And do you think, thanks to Donald Trump, stock in Sanford, the company which makes the Sharpie, has gone up? Are people buying Sharpies and just drawing things that they feel like drawing? Or
Well, there's been a lot of obscene things on Facebook, I've noticed. That's for sure. And I'm sure it's becoming a new trend, yes.
My favorite
memes. There's tons of memes out there, you know.
The one that I shared where it says it's Donald Trump's new dog, it's a Sharpei, which kind of looks like Sharpie, where somebody draws a leash and a dog next to Donald Trump. And of course, I shared that and wrote a comment that a lot of people found amusing. Is I before
E? He does not own a dog. He's the first president in modern times. A few in the 19th century, but since I think 1900, every president's owned a dog. And the argument is, to some extent, I agree. If you don't own a pet, a dog or a cat, it means you're probably a very self-centered person because you should be able to share with a pet. Pets do humanize people.
But I wrote that I before E, except after DT. Meaning that Sharpei was changed from Sharpie, P-E-I, instead of P-I-E, which, you know,
but me. I before E is correct as far as Donald Trump being connected to lies, L-I-E-S. How's that?
Yeah. But then we have L-E-I, Alay, connected to Barack Obama, who was, of course, born in Hawaii, where people wear lays. So maybe that's the difference. Did you ever think about
Donald
that?
Donald Trump has probably, quote, laid more people than any other president.
Did you ever think about that, Ron? We had a president associated with the word lay, L-E-I, Mr. Obama, and then a president associated with the word lie, L-I-E.
That's right, yes.
I'm not going to mention that Obama lied about keeping your health insurance. Of course, you and I could debate that. All presidents lie. But that's
well, but not in the level of and the number of lies of Donald Trump, though. No, that's the point I have to make. Yes,
you kind of wonder.
I think it's often that they don't know what the effect of their words is. But look at what Joe Biden just did. He flubbed. He's flubbing a lot, and he called President Trump President Hump the other day.
Well, that could lead to a comment that's rated PG-13. So I'm going to pass, but maybe you know what I'm thinking of. We're speaking with Dr. Ronald Fineman, the official presidentologist here at WWGH Radio. In addition, Ron, since we talked last time, you appeared with my colleague, my brother in broadcasting, the interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott Spears. And
yes, that was a wonderful time, yes.
Good conversation. Of course, it seems like the most important topic was the one that we've joked about. Why do I call you Ron, and why does he call you Dr. Fineman? And it looks like
yes.
It looks like Scott, to allay the suspense of people that were wondering, kind of addressed that. So now we know. Ron, you are teaching at a local Institute of Higher Learning as we start the school year.
Florida Atlantic University, and I'm teaching the American Presidency course this term.
How are your How are your courses going so far this year?
They're going well. You know, I also am doing American government and politics survey. No, they're going well. The students seem very motivated, and it's been very enjoyable. I have the summer off. I don't teach in the summer, so I'm always raring to come back. And then I get a break for about 6 weeks in December and January, come back again, and then I'm off in the summer. So it's not a bad way to be, quote, retired and still earn income and still be productive, along with writing and speaking. And, you know, and also giving lectures.
Do your students listen to your radio shows at all? Has that ever come up?
I brought it up, but I don't know. I don't force them to. I just mention I'm on the station, you know, so maybe some of them listen. I have no idea.
Well, yeah. If any of you folks listening are students of Dr. Fineman, because you can listen to the station anywhere in the world online, thank you for listening. But when you're finished listening, please do your homework.
Yes, I do mention to them that it's in the city that Warren G. Harding comes from, and their eyes open up. I say a president lived in Marion, Ohio, not highly rated among presidents, but I said probably rated higher now because of Donald Trump.
We do want to thank the local library in my neck of the woods, the Worthington Public Library, for carrying Dr. Fineman's book about presidential assassinations. If you saw my Facebook, you noticed that I personally checked it out over the weekend, and I'm in the process of perusing that publication, and on a future show, we're going to talk about it in detail. We've talked about the book in a general sense, but not before I read every word. I've read excerpts, but it's a fascinating book, Ron. And
Thank you.
The last chapter I read was about Abraham Lincoln. As we talked off the air, you kind of wonder, well, why is Lincoln considered to be our greatest president, at least by
a lot of people.
Now, he did free the slaves. He didn't literally open the door, and the slaves were no longer working for free, but he was very instrumental. He made the Emancipation Proclamation, essentially executive order saying there will be no more slavery. If you work for somebody, you get paid. And if you are somebody working for free, you're free to leave, find employment elsewhere, start your own business.
But actually, I want to point out, I told my students, it didn't actually end slavery, but ended slavery was the Civil War's end with the North defeating the South. Otherwise, it would not have been able to be followed through on. And also by the 13th Amendment, which ended slavery, because since slavery was in the Constitution, you could not end it by a proclamation alone. You had to do it by amendment.
But it was instrumental in slavery. Similar to the Revolution, where the Declaration of Independence preceded the Revolutionary War. So they were saying, well, we want to be separate from Great Britain, but we have to fight, and eventually, they won. So similar in that it was instrumental. We've talked, Ron, on previous shows that, I guess no other way to say it, because, you know, we're both interested in first ladies, and we have an affinity for Betty Ford, both Bushes, Mrs. Carter. You know, you don't really dislike Melania, but I wouldn't say you like her as much as I like her.
I don't.
You have some liking. I mean, I understand. She's very glamorous.
Well, not really. Other than the fact I wouldn't be disrespectful if I met her in person. But I do not think she dignifies the office. But I want to mention that Rosalynn Carter is quiet. You don't hear much about her. But she's now building houses. She's 92. Habitat for Humanity, indeed, not talking about it. Actually physically doing with her husband. And again, October 1st, in a few weeks from now, Jimmy Carter's 95, oldest age. And on October 17th, they have the longest marriage, longer than the Bushes. And I think it's something to salute, and I keep on bringing it up even in class because I think it's fantastic. And he's a true model for the decency and compassion a president should have.
We've both discussed, we're not really fans of Nancy Reagan. We wouldn't say she's our least favorite, but certainly not to the level
of... Well, she's better than Melania, in my mind, but I wouldn't put it too high, though.
I guess, you know, I've made jokes about she has a little tiny body and this big head and this big hair. She's just kind of interesting looking. And
she was an actress. She was in some movies, including
Hellcat
to the Navy and a movie with him, with Ronald Reagan.
Reagan, like every president, was an enigma. As we talked about, he did some really bad things, but he did many good things. Now, every president is a victim or benefactor of circumstance. Donald Trump is a benefactor of a fairly good economy. We had one interest rate reduction, and as someone, I have loans. One of my mortgages is tied to the prime rate. I mean, that helps me. And now they're talking about a second interest rate reduction. And gas prices are stable. Employment's pretty good. Is he The reason for it? Well, he's a benefactor of circumstance. I wouldn't give him all the credit. I mean, Donald Trump,
yeah,
I'm sure, takes all the credit.
Yeah, because a lot of the improvement came from the low economy under Bush 2 to Obama's revival of the economy, yes.
But bottom line is Reagan presided over a recovery after some horrible inflation, energy crises, and a bunch of other issues with the aforementioned President Peanut, as I call him, James Earl Carter III or IV, whichever one he was, or also known as Jimmy. But Reagan did things that I think were bad. Too much defense spending. We can't skimp on the military, but Reagan took it too far.
And crippled the national debt.
And he could have done more about AIDS, especially since many of his Hollywood colleagues were stricken.
And he tripled the national debt, and homelessness skyrocketed under him, yes.
But again, Reagan, as we agree, was a likable guy, great sense of humor. I mean, he was an actor.
And a gentleman.
Very, very good actor.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nancy Reagan, I like her cause, just say no to drugs. I just don't know if it did anything. So, and to me, it's comparing Reagan to Betty Ford. Betty Ford, granted,
oh my God,
what she did for drug abuse and what her legacy still does for drug abuse can't be measured. She had her own issues with alcohol and prescription medication.
But she's a sweetheart. Betty Ford was always a sweetheart.
Also, she had breast cancer. I mean, her own experiences. But to me, she was real. Nancy Reagan, I mean, she was like almost like her husband in some ways, just always an actress. And she wasn't as well known as an actress, certainly, as Reagan was. I mean, Reagan, half a step down from John Wayne in popularity in his days as an actor. But, you know, Nancy Reagan,
I may not have mentioned before, I'm going to be doing a lecture in December here in Jupiter, Florida, on five first ladies, including Eleanor Roosevelt, Jacqueline Kennedy, Nancy Reagan, Barbara Bush, and Betty Ford. So I'm going to be, and already I have 100 and almost 150 people who have signed up for it, a very large crowd. So a lot of people are interested in first ladies.
Yeah, and I mean, Nancy Reagan, I just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I'm not saying she was a bad first lady, but I certainly greatly prefer both Bushes. I mean, Laura Bush, kind of quiet, but I liked her. She was very classy, and she would speak up when she wanted to. She's not quite as quiet as you think, and Barbara Bush, outspoken, politically, as you know, she was great. She was, you know, what you call the liberal-type Republican, which is very consistent with a lot of my beliefs. She made no secret. Her opinion on abortion was not the same as her husband's, but...
Well, Nancy also was pro-choice, actually, but she kept quiet, Barbara Bush did. But they both were pro-choice.
You know, and I, believe me, I make fun of Barbara Bush's appearance, too. People saying, well, was she really Bush's grandmother and not his wife?
mother.
You know, and I have certainly made fun of the physical attributes of every first lady.
Well, I got to tell you one thing about Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence. He calls his wife mother.
Yeah, well, let's...
Ronald Reagan called Nancy mommy.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people might call Karen Pence mother, and the second word is a word he wouldn't say on the air, so we're not going,
yeah,
not going to say that.
Yeah, at least mommy is cute. Mother sounds almost threatening in a way.
Do want to mention, though, we talked about the aforementioned Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars, and he's talked to Dick Cavett, a revolutionary talk show host, many times, and I'll tell you, Dick Cavett sounds as good as he does when he was on the air. The retro TV channels play the Dick Cavett Show, and along with the Ed Sullivan Show, and I just love watching those. Is there a little bit before my time? So I did watch Dick Cavett occasionally. I know who he is, but I wasn't a big watcher. But I find myself watching his interviews a lot, and as you and I have talked about, Ron, I think Dick Cavett and Scott Spears have very similar styles. Scott doesn't agree, but I believe that he does, and just having Dick Cavett on with Scott is awesome. Just that it's Dick Cavett, but to hear them together, what a great team. Bottom line is, as I was telling you off the air earlier, Ron, Dick Cavett had Lady Bird Johnson, President Lyndon Johnson's wife, on a few days ago. Now, she was the first lady when I was born. Not going to mention what year that was, but do the math. She was the first lady at my birth, and she died, I think, 12 years ago. She lived quite long.
She's one of the first ladies who lived to the 90s. There's been about six of them. Most of the recent first ladies have lived to the 90s. It's amazing.
Yeah, you just hear her, and she is so classy. I mean, the way she talks, I mean, her dress. But not just that, again, and in some of the same ways you would see with Betty Ford and both Bushes, because Laura Bush, she was well-educated. Of course, in those days, it wasn't as common to see well-educated women as it is now. Thankfully, that's changed, and let's hope it continues to. I mean, our last three first ladies, two attorneys, and one who speaks multiple languages. So we've had three, I would say, rather cerebral first ladies. I mean, you and I, Ron, don't agree on the cerebral nature of Melania, but she does speak multiple languages.
Well, she doesn't speak them as well, I think, as Pete Buttigieg, who can speak seven languages, including Norwegian.
Right. But, you know, and the jokes aside, Melania speaks five languages, which is five languages more than her husband speaks. Okay, let's get the joke out. But you hear Lady Bird Johnson, and she was a very successful businesswoman. And interestingly, I think she owned radio and TV stations. She managed the campaign of her husband and other high-level politicians. She would say what's on her mind, but she was very dedicated to her husband, just a really good guest, and so ladylike. You know, in our society, well, is it okay to be ladylike? Does that sound sexist? No, I think a woman should act ladylike. A man should be gentlemanly. Doesn't mean you don't have your own identity as humans, but it's just nice to see a woman who dresses so classy and has her nice poofy hair. You know, she called Dick Cavett Mr. Cavett. I mean, and she'll talk about stuff, still seem like a sweet lady you'd see in the neighborhood, but you knew that she was like royalty. Because I think, if anything, I think you'd agree, Ron, especially since Mrs. Kennedy, especially, we think of our first ladies almost like royalty, almost like a queen, as they kind of have that stature. And
yeah, I wanted to mention that six first ladies from Mrs. Truman on have lived to their 90s. You know, indeed, Mrs. Truman was 97, and indeed, Lady Bird was 94, and Betty Ford was 93, and Jimmy Carter's wife, who's still alive, of course, is 92 now, and also Nancy Reagan was 94, and Barbara Bush was 92. So that's amazing, from Truman through Bush, six first ladies have reached the 90s. Nobody before that. Isn't that amazing?
You were a young man, Ron, when Lady Bird was VP. Was first lady, not VP.
Yes.
Well, she was second lady. She was second lady and first lady. So I guess.
Yes.
Is my assessment right? Do you see her as someone who's very ladylike, almost like a queen, very smart, great business
Absolutely.
Person?
Absolutely. Just as she was a Southern belle, and it was hard for people after Jacqueline Kennedy to look at her in the same way, because Jacqueline Kennedy was so glamorous. But Lady Bird was very educated. She ran her own businesses, most of the wealth of her, you know, that her husband has. She was a smart businesswoman. She was quite a person, yes. She really was. And she had that nickname, Lady Bird. Her real name is Claudia, actually. But she went by Lady Bird because he called her a Lady Bird. Apparently there is a bird called a Lady Bird. That's a beautiful bird. I didn't know that, but apparently there is.
But do you see just the class? You just see her. It's like, well, you know, she was first lady. And
she was there for 5+ years, yeah. But, you know, also ignored, but I think quiet, was Mrs. Nixon. I think she stands out the more we look at her now, too. Not as exciting, but I think she deserves a little more attention as well, and she doesn't get it, unfortunately.
Yeah, just
and I think Carter has not, but I think her longevity is adding to her as well, Mrs. Carter.
Yeah, just kind of hard to figure Pat Nixon, her husband just being so notorious, and you just don't think about the other family members, whereas with Carter...
That's why I think Melania would not stand out as much, because her husband's so outrageous, there'll be less attention paid to her as well, like Mrs. Nixon, I think, over time.
With Carter, it seems like, well, he was a Southern gentleman. We agree he was just too nice. You know, Donald Trump kind of being the other extreme. Can we have someone who's kind of in the middle and...
I wanted to mention, I'm writing an article because Carter's going to be the longest lived, he already is, and also the longest marriage. I'm writing an article, and I don't know for sure, but I'm going to submit it to History News Network, comparing, in many ways, Carter to Trump. And I have 20 differences I've come up with that make, of course, Carter really shine and Trump look terrible. And, you know, I'm going to publish it in late October, after October 17th. I'm sure they'll, you know, in some form they'll allow it. But, it's, you know, I want to wait till both accomplishments are accomplished next month for Carter, but I think Carter deserves a lot more attention than he gets.
Speaking with Dr. Ron Feinman on a fine-er mid-morning coffee break with Adam, myself, and the professor, kind of digressing a bit like we always do, talking about first ladies and presidents in our lifetime. And, of course, the Donald always seems to pop up, just just a little teeny tiny bit. But Dick Cavett, he had on Gerald Ford also a couple weeks earlier. And just these guests that he has, presidents and people associated with the presidency from my lifetime, it just is fascinating. Ford was a great interview. And I tell you, Ron, I feel guilty because I supported Carter over Ford. I don't know why. I just liked his country boy. I liked Billy. I liked his mother. I liked his family. I think Billy was one of the coolest presidential family members in history. I liked Amy.
Amy was only 8 years old then.
Yeah, I mean, I liked Carter being just being a regular guy, and obviously very smart. And you know, him and Clinton, two of the smartest president, certainly.
Carter and Clinton are two of the most intellectual, yes.
I thought he would be a good change from Ford, and Ford embroiled in controversy with the pardoning of Nixon. But, you know, I think back, and this is also not considering my affinity for Betty, because I didn't give her enough credit at all. I feel guilty for not supporting Ford. And it's just kind of a shame that he goes down as the only president never elected directly. He was appointed, then he became president after Nixon resigned, then he lost to Carter, but he really is one of our best presidents, an unsung hero, and his wife.
He looks better all the time, yeah. I agree. And you realize, you know why he lost? He lost Ohio and Hawaii by small amounts of votes. If he had won Ohio and Hawaii, he would have beaten Carter.
Anyway,
it was that close.
He was fascinating with Dick Cavett also. So just interesting to see these guests and see how they interact.
Joke with people that Ford is a person I wish could come back from the dead and be vice president right now instead of Mike Pence. I'd be a lot happier.
I would say, you know, Betty Ford for president, all the things that she could do as president, it's kind
of even Gerald Ford coming back and doing another job after I did after Nixon. I think it'd be, of course, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and it's just fascinating in retrospect. It seems like that's the way that we appreciate the presidents more. And as we've talked about, what will people think about Donald Trump 20 years down the road? That will certainly...
Not very well. He's not going to rank very high. That's all I can tell you.
Those would be conversations where...
Association is rated at the bottom of all presidents, below Andrew Johnson and James Buchanan and Warren G. Harding. It's not bad.
Those would be conversations where I'd like to be a spot on the wall, as I know they would be interesting with a capital I.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, talk about Mike Pence, there's rumors now that he might be dumped for maybe possibly a woman, and one of those might be Nikki Haley, or possibly Marsha Blackburn, the senator from Tennessee, or maybe Joni Ernst of Iowa, and I wrote about that. I think the latitude would be, oh my God, and with Nikki Haley, I think it would make her lose credibility if she ran with him.
But
not with...
You know, we both like Nikki Haley. I don't agree with her on every issue, but we admire her, and she had a difficult...
But she should not replace him on the ticket. I don't think it's going to happen anyway. I think Pence will be on.
All I can say is, if she were vice president, I would be the first person in line to root for Donald Trump to resign or to get impeached, because I have a president that I'd want, a moderate Republican, the first woman president, a multi-ethnic person, you know, not bad looking. That isn't everything, but it counts. The president's in public eye and should present him or herself well. Interesting, whom would Nikki Haley choose as vice president? Something tells me she would pick someone else I like, William Weld, or possibly John Kasich, just somebody who's also middle-of-the-road Republican.
John Huntsman. Yeah.
But we can only hope. That would just be
wonderful. Talk about that. William Weld is running against Trump, but meanwhile the Republicans are trying to deny any primaries or caucuses. And meanwhile we have Joe Walsh, and now we have Mark Sanford, both people with all kinds of issues, very right-wing. Weld's a more moderate center. And so it's like those two really, they're running, they're going to make noise, but oh my God, is this the best the Republicans can come up with other than Weld? These other two, Walsh and Sanford, are disasters as alternatives in my mind, because one is a racist and the other one's a cheater on his wife, and it just isn't the kind of person who should be president, Mark Sanford. But none of them are going anywhere, and they might not even have the chance to compete in a primary or caucus. They're trying to block that in the Republican Party.
But I'd be correct, Ron, in that I'm not saying you're the president of his fan club, but you have a general liking for Mr. Weld as a fairly moderate, if not liberal, Republican.
He's the only one that's decent of the three, yes, but I would prefer Kasich or Huntsman to be a more serious possibility. They're also younger, because Weld is in his 70s already, another issue of age, you know, and I'm worried about age. I really am worried about age with these various people running.
But your opinion of Weld would be more positive, just like with Nikki Haley. He certainly seems I wouldn't say as liberal as Don Anderson, but close. A left.
Oh, in fact, I wish John Anderson could come back and run. Yeah. Besides Gerald Ford, my gosh. Yeah, I like John Anderson in 1980. I really flirted with voting for him. I didn't. I voted for Carter, but I did flirt with voting for Anderson. And my dissertation advisor, Arthur Schlesinger Jr., and also Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, did vote for Anderson, not for the Democrat, which is quite astounding when we found that out.
But in many ways, Anderson was to the left of Carter. Carter was considered a conservative Southern Democrat. And I remember Anderson, a bit of an enigma, but, you know, I look at him, I look at both Bushes, but especially Barbara and, of course, Betty Ford. These left-wing Republicans, they are very consistent with my beliefs. I mean, I have gone a bit to the right as I've gotten older, but really I've looked at it not really that much more. And I'm still very, very pro-choice as an example of one of my issues that certainly is not consistent with most Republicans, but fiscal conservative. I think you should be self-made. I don't like handouts. Work for a living, start a business, or with a legitimate reason, receive a check.
I wanted to mention with Anderson, he was the head of the House Republican Conference, third-ranking Republican when he decided not to run again and run for president. And interestingly, he was, as you say, fairly liberal. And today, who is the House Republican Conference chair? It is Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney's daughter, third-ranking Republican, and somebody to watch that might run for president in the future. And I don't think that, and she's smart, but I don't like her. She's just like her father. But Liz Cheney, what a difference from John Anderson in 1980 to Liz Cheney now in 2020 as House Republican Conference Chairman. Isn't that an amazing move from the middle to the right?
I mean, Dick Cheney has two daughters who are very different politically. We talked about his daughters.
Yes. Well, Liz is smart, but very right-wing. She's like her father, and she does have ambition. She might run for the Senate seat very likely in Wyoming, and she might become a senator, but she's right now third-ranking Republican and strong-willed person, smart, but not my kind of tea. I wouldn't want her, but she could be a possible woman candidate in the future, along with Nikki Haley and Marsha Blackburn and Joni Ernst and people like that, as far as a woman for the Republicans. But I think the only one I could even imagine is Nikki Haley.
I would be intrigued to see Nikki Haley be the vice president. She would be a very strong vice president. And we've talked about this, Ron. Mike Pence doesn't have the, you know, fill in the blank, cojones, I guess. That's your favorite word there. To invoke the 25th Amendment and show Donald Trump the door.
He has to do with the cabinet.
Even though he could. Now, Nikki Haley, you know, she's a female, but, you know, in a metaphoric sense, she has a lot of cojones. Now, if she were to become vice president, now, Donald, if you're listening to this, you know, go get a cup of coffee or something, or go play some golf, because I don't want Donald to hear this. With Nikki Haley, Ron, if she were to be the vice president, which I think is a very good possibility, because Donald needs to get more votes from women, and that would certainly help.
And theory behind it.
Moderate, some, you know, moderates, people like me who might say, well, I like Nikki Haley. Can I go ahead and just forget about her boss? But the thing is, can we look to the future? Would Nikki Haley have the cojones to invoke the 25th Amendment and find a way to show Donald the door? She'd become president. And then we get a VP we like, someone like Kasich or Weld, have two moderate, if not left-leaning Republicans. I'd be in seventh heaven, because those are the kind of politicians I tend to like. Is that a possibility, or am I just dreaming?
I think the Republican Party is not in the moderate sense anymore. I think these people have no chance. It's a right-wing party, and is dying like the Conservative Party in Britain. Oh, my God, the mess with Boris Johnson. What's going on there? People leaving the party. I wish some of the Republicans would leave the Trump Party, but they're not doing it.
But is that a possibility, that Haley would become the vice president?
But again, you can't do it alone. You have to have a majority of the cabinet behind you. She'd have to have a conspiracy with others in the cabinet, because she can't just do it on her own, the vice president.
But we agree that would be a nice scenario. Neither of us would be upset if Nikki Haley were to become president. I mean, we have a fairly positive opinion about her. We do admire her intelligence.
Yes.
She's a little younger, you know, easy on the eyes. Very excellent.
She's about 50, I guess. She's
excellent
young,
speaker.
Yeah.
And, you know, multicultural, her variety of ethnic backgrounds certainly reflects this great country. So many, you know, things about her we like, but...
Well, she's technically Asian American, because she's from India, her parents' background. So she's got Asian backgrounds, yes.
But...
South Asian.
That probably is a pipe dream, but we can only hope.
I think Mike Pence might very well become president briefly, because I think this man is imploding, as Joe Walsh, I don't like Joe Walsh, who was running again. He says the man's imploding every day, and I think he's off the deep end, and he's becoming more dangerous, and he's doing reckless things, and it's very scary about the danger to the country, because I think he's mentally deranged, and it's not getting better, because he can't stand any opposition, and as the campaign goes on, he's going to get more crazy, I think.
Well, we would then go from the prettiest first lady to the ugliest first lady, at least in modern history.
I don't know of all first ladies, you'd have to look and see. But again, as your cohort would say, looks are not that important, as Scott would say, and I agree. Mm-hmm. It's not that big a deal. Most presidents have not been great looking either. Not everybody is Franklin Pierce or JFK or Bill Clinton type of looks, you know. So I don't think looks matter as much, even with the first lady.
But you would agree.
Eric. That worries me, because I don't like Mrs. Pence's character, but I don't care about her looks, really.
Yeah. But you would agree that Melania is better looking than Karen Pence. We would agree on that one.
Comparison, but I don't think she's a very nice person. I don't think she's very nice character-wise. But yeah, looking at it, but everything is not looks again, as Scott Spears says, and I agree with him.
Now, this Boris Johnson person, Ron...
Oh, God.
I can't say this
without
laughing. Why does he look like Donald Trump's younger brother? They have the same. I mean, it's not just the hair. They have a similar face. I mean, is it just me? Do they look almost like brothers?
I don't know how to explain it. I don't know, but he's made crazy things like he would rather be in a ditch than give in. I mean, what kind of crazy crap is he saying? I'm sorry, this is ridiculous. The man is a monster. He needs to be removed, and hopefully there'll be an election, but the alternative is not great. The Labour Party is too far left, and I don't know what the answers are. The whole political party system there is collapsing, and here, at least the Republican Party, there's no principle of guts at all, and it's scary to be removed. But it all helps for Vladimir Putin. He loves it. And all these countries have
you think
trouble.
That
I think he's minded a lot. I really think he has.
Do you think Maggie Thatcher is turning over in her grave, or what do you think? You know, up in heaven, what do you think she thinks about
Boris?
Well,
if anybody could come back from the grave to the 1980s, I bet they wish that she could. Yeah, even Tony Blair, the Labour Party leader, but the Labour Party is much more to the left of what Tony Blair was. You know. It's really a sad situation. And meanwhile, I'm still concerned about these three people over 70, you know, and two nearing 80. Sanders just was 79 yesterday, September 8th, and he'll be over 80 in 8 months if he got in. You know, and also, Biden's making mistakes. Warren looks good, but she'd be older at inauguration than Trump was. I still think we need a younger generation, and I'm still appealing to the idea of Julian Castro or Pete Buttigieg or Amy Klobuchar or even Kamala Harris or even Cory Booker as a younger generation, because every time the Democrats have won since 1960 with an outsider, meaning not someone in office already like Johnson, there's always been somebody young, and I think we need a younger generation.
And as we almost get time to say goodbye, as my mama always said, time flies when you are having
fun. It has to be gone over already.
We'll talk about your blog from yesterday, Rural America Being Harmed by Trump's Tariffs. And that's from theprogressiveprofessor.com. And like we often enjoy, we're going to talk geography. You mentioned that there are states that like Donald Trump, and they tend to be more rural. That's a good word to say. And you mentioned
a couple of entries this past week on that, yes.
You mentioned five states that are in, let's call the southern Midwest. And again, these states, since Ohio is Midwest or near Ohio.
Ohio's not as high a percentage, though, for Trump. It was a close race. But I talked about Missouri, Tennessee, Indiana, Louisiana, and Kentucky are five states that have cities, but they're middle-sized cities, no really large cities. The other states that are the 17 that really love them, or the 20 states, all very rural, no major city at all.
Yeah, well, I just, you know how much I love geography. I would call Nashville, Memphis, and Indianapolis at least those three major cities, as Columbus, which is, I believe, now the 14th largest city in the country, is a major city, just surpassed Indianapolis in size. Nashville is conterminous with the county, and so is Louisville.
Nashville's a great city. Yeah. I've been there. I love the Hermitage and Andrew Jackson.
I would.
And I also love, the Country Music Hall of Fame and the Parthenon replica, like in Athens. It's a great city, Nashville, yes.
I would call these more major cities, not New York or Chicago, but the next tier.
Yes.
And, Kentucky.
Middle size, you would call. Yes.
Lexington is a growing area, and the Cincinnati suburbs, it isn't a city per se. It's a bunch of, smaller cities, but like Covington and Florence, et cetera. But it's a large and growing area. And those places are important. And Missouri is kind of interesting in that You mentioned St. Louis and Kansas City, both, you know, medium to major cities. And Missouri's kind of rural in the middle. It's not a lot there, but those cities are on either end. And
well,
Indiana, you know,
between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh is rural, and upstate New York is rural. There's a lot of rural areas, but it depends on whether the urban and suburban areas can dominate when it comes to elections, as in many states they do. You know, that's the whole thing.
Indiana's an interesting state. We have Indianapolis, and, of course, where Mike Pence worked as governor, being very conservative, and we go to the northern part of the state, South Bend, home of Mayor Pete, you know, fairly liberal, presidential hopeful in his 30s.
Very impressive, I think, yes.
So we have Indiana being fairly diverse, and then Kentucky certainly has its rural parts, but has its cities and metro areas, again, mainly being the northern Kentucky or the Cincinnati area. So obviously we look at demographics, people's race, their age, where they live, what kind of work they do. How does that relate to whom they might vote for?
Well, as I say, a lot of it in that area that I talk about is agriculture and coal mining, and they're both in trouble from the tariffs and from the coal industry dying. So it's even the rural areas might not all vote for Trump next year as much as they did. It's hard to know.
All I can say is that
massively, it could somehow squeak by. It's anything could happen.
All I can say is that talk radio stations like ours will have plenty of fodder for
gosh, we'll talk about this every week for the rest of time. Yes.
Yeah. And that's what keeps it interesting, you know, studying the American president, fascinating topic and something I've enjoyed ever since I was a kid, even though I've never been a history person. I've always been fascinated by the office of the president, and we talk to one of the leading scholars in the universe, Dr. Feynman, almost every week.
Not the universe.
Yeah, about the presidency, about the Donald and first ladies and whatever else we can muster up.
Yeah, you should have been in a class of mine if you know you lived in the right place.
I'm sure that would be quite fascinating. Well, Ron, we've come to the conclusion of our program.
Thank you so much again. Had a great time.
Thank you again for being with us. We really, really appreciate it. And hopefully we will have another fine topic of conversation next week.
Hurricane next week, please.
Yeah, so maybe some more news about the election. And rarely a time when there are no topics for us to talk about. That's why
we always have things to talk about.
Yeah. Presidents, you never run out of things to talk about, to debate. You know, we didn't debate much today. You know, I kind of implied a few things about immigration, but didn't really pursue that. So instead, we just talk about history, about first ladies, or are they classy? Are they like royalty? Are they not? Donald Trump's base, what kind of people vote for him, where might they live, and remembering 9/11 and talking a little bit about Friday the 13th. Again, it seems like every day is Friday the 13th in Washington, but it kind of keeps it fun. And Ron, thanks again for joining us today. Have a great rest of your Monday.